and welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode number 36, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44 throughout the internet, and we are recording today on Pi Day.
Yay,
and
Pi.
March 14th, of course, and my co-hosts are Stuart,
a.k.a. Casual Terror,
and Henry.
What's going on, people? This is Knox.
And we have a good amount of topics and good quality of topics, I would say. Probably will be a shorter show, so I know a lot of people don't like when we run too long, two and a half hours long.
About the last three shows.
Right? Yeah. But we don't have like 20 different games to talk about this week. So that's a good thing. But I guess we can get into Dragon Age 2, something that Stuart's been, I guess, dying to talk about.
Yes. Dragon Age 2. I finished it.
Wow.
What?
How am I not surprised?
I finished it Saturday night.
Wow.
Wow.
So did you take any time off from work or...
No, I didn't.
Did you take any time to close your eyes?
Yes, I did. It took me 34 hours.
Huh, that's not bad.
And I wanted it to be a lot, lot longer. And I
did you do everything?
Almost. I maybe didn't do maybe four side quests.
Yeah, they had DLC day one, didn't they?
Yeah, the DLC. There's DLC and there's DLC. There's a downloadable character.
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't even call it downloadable content, because all it was a room with stuff you maybe not want.
So a loot room.
Yeah, kind of. And there is a shop in there. It doesn't look like a shop until you walk up to it and click it, or press A, whatever, whichever you're playing it on. But, yeah, I just wanted this game to be a lot, lot longer.
Okay, you want to give us your kind of review on it? Like, how was it?
Well, considering that from when I wasn't working, sleeping, or eating, I was playing this game. I was very happy with this game. The only complaint I have is it was too short. 34 hours is too short for that game.
What do you think that you were just kind of already? I mean, were you finding yourself grinding up, or were you already so, I guess, a little bit familiar with the controls that you just kind of just blew through it?
I think considering that the controls on the PC are so much similar than on the from 1 and 2. Excuse me. Didn't want to cough into the mic there. I was just so used to doing what I was doing that it was really easy for me to just blow through. Like, I maybe died once. And
okay. Yeah, they say they improved the combat from part one. From what I played in the demo, it looks like especially on the console, because I'm actually charging through Dragon Age 1 now, so, I mean, to hear that you absolutely loved it is good news to me, because, I'm still, slugging my way through it, man, as best as I can.
Yeah, with the way that they redid the combat, where you can just run up to an enemy, just hit him a couple times, then run away, yeah, you can use that to your advantage, like, because there's one case where you're actually fighting one-on-one with a very powerful enemy.
Oh, okay.
So what I would do was I would hit him a bunch of times and then start running in circles, waiting for my health and my stamina to go back up, or just quickly use a potion and then go back in to hit him and then run some more.
Okay.
There is, you can game the system that way. But,
Well, in that same vein, I remember you were talking about how, I guess it wasn't as detailed, like, how in Dragon Age 1, how you can kind of break down, character specific things, like when you get down to this much health, use this or whatever, use the potion or da 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 da.
That just wasn't in the demo.
Oh, okay.
But it is in the game.
It is in the actual Dragon 2 game.
Yeah, but I never used it, because I was watching my teammate's health like I said, I guess I only died once, and that was fighting the High Dragon. And I was already at, you know, almost level 20. I was level, like, 18. And that dragon kicked my ass.
So I know the highest level on Dragon Age was what? Was it 30, 25, or something like that?
I don't remember.
What was the cap on Dragon Age 2?
Well, I hit level 20 at the end.
Oh, wow. More,
but I can't see it going any higher from, you know, other than, you know, killing that dragon. That would give you a huge XP boost. I can't see it going much higher than that, because there's just not enough content to do that with.
Hmm. Yeah, I noticed I couldn't get into Dragon Age personally, but I've been watching a friend play it, or I've been viewing his status on Xbox Live, and I've been, you know, looking at other friends, and it seems like they're leveling up a lot quicker than he is. He's playing Dragon Age 1, and it seems like my friends playing Dragon Age 2 are leveling up and getting through it a lot quicker than he is.
Well, that's because the game is just that much shorter.
Yeah, and it really confused me.
That much quicker.
It really confused me, because I was wondering whether or not he was playing, or he was just playing and then pausing and leaving or whatever, and just a bit confused why it was. I would see him playing this, like, a lot longer than they are, and they were getting through it faster. So I guess it's because it's shorter. That's good to know now.
Well, I said that it's short is my only complaint. I'll take that back. No, my other complaint is, in one, you know, you could go to a camp and you can talk to all your companions and get to know them better and, you know, learn their backstory, and, you know, it's easy to get into a romance, maybe in two, within like one gameplay. Not in two.
Hmm.
Like, you get maybe a couple chances to even talk to your companions like that. And it's, you know, side quests. You know, you can't do it between missions. Which,
so there's like different set pieces where they have it kind of almost allotted for these times that you have to kind of pursue these conversations or these relationships with each person?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which, you know, the character that I end up romancing, I almost thought that wasn't going to happen. Because the way she felt towards me just crept so slowly at the beginning. And then I end up doing something and poop, all the way to the top. Okay. How'd that happen?
But doesn't that always happen in real life?
Huh. But, you know, I think it's funny that you're saying, like, what, 30-something hours is too short for it?
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
I just find that kind of funny that a big complaint is that 30-something hours is too short, when most games now are, like, what, 10 hours?
Yeah, 12 at best, especially when you're talking about a single-player game.
I think with the Dragon Age 2 and basically RPGs, we're just so spoiled with, you know, 80 plus hours, basically. Because I just think that's a good thing where we're at right now. We're just spoiled with, and our biggest complaints is the games are, you know, it's not 80 hours, it's only 30.
Well, you know, games like this, you know, I will say this, the story, like, you know, in Dragon Age 1, you know, you knew what the big baddie was. You knew how it was going to end. You know, you'd save the day. Woohoo! Yay, you. And this one, I didn't know how it was going to end until the end.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's good.
I did not know what the big over. Like, there was no big overall conflict in the entire game. There was two big conflicts. One ended kind of short.
Do you mean as far as conflicts, as far as that would change the world, or do you mean like the typical?
Yes.
You know, game boss battles. Like, okay, now you're at the end. Now it's time to fight, you know, big guy to end the game.
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Like I said, one of them is, you know, that one-on-one fight, which I thought was stupid. I mean, it made sense, but the fact that he just hit you for so hard and you hit for so little, that the only way you could survive was to game the system and do what I did.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just like that they give you the freedom to actually do that, because like I said, I'm still playing Dragon Age 1, and if you remember it, that was my biggest pet peeve was the combat system. Because, you know, just like Poetic said, you know, with these RPGs that have come out since then, we've been kind of spoiled because it kind of took me back to my KOTOR days. But, you know, I'm playing Dragon Age now, but that's after I've already experienced, you know, games like Fallout, you know, the original, and then Mass Effect. I mean, you know, with the conversation wheel, which I like that they did change the conversation on this one. Does your character talk? Because I know in Dragon Age 1, your character doesn't talk at all. You just pick whatever you think he needs to say, and then the other characters speak back to you.
Oh, yeah.
And that was another pet peeve of mine, too.
Yeah, your character, okay, he or she does talk.
Oh, okay. But,
okay, there you get, you know, three, you know, usually you get three choices. You know, you get like a peace leaf or whatever, and it's, you know, that's the good option. You get the middle one, and it's kind of a silly face, that's a sarcastic option. And you get a fist, so that's, you know, the bad option. I always chose the sarcastic option, and I noticed that when he would actually, that sometimes when the character would say something that I didn't control, you know, just as a response, as a quick response, it was sarcastic. And I've read that it depends on where what you pick, usually, it will actually go in that direction.
Right.
Like, if you always pick the good option, he'll have a really nice response, you know, automatically. Or if you pick the bad response, you know, he'll have the bad response automatically. And for me, it was always funny.
Yeah, that's a big relief to know, man, because it was kind of hard looking at those long sentences and having to read the whole thing out. Then you couldn't really get a tone of what your character said because your character didn't say anything at all. So it's kind of good to know.
Let's see. Oh, one thing, this game takes place in like one town, like one city. And you're going through and you're seeing the same thing over and over again throughout the entire city. But they put in a fast travel system that will basically almost take you to that quest area. Like, not far from, you know, where you got to turn in the quest.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why the game was as short as it was because of that. But if that wasn't there, it would have been not as good. Like, it would be a lot more tedious than it ended up being.
Yeah, it almost seems like the game was, like, they kind of, by design, made it a little bit more streamlined, more focused, you know, on, you know, combat, more focused on what needs to happen here and now, then I guess the other expenditures will be kind of done in DLC, maybe.
Yeah. Let's see, what else can I talk about? That whole thing in the trailer where he has these amazing powers and he's turning all red-eyed and arms all weird-looking. Right. No idea what that was about.
What class are you playing as?
Warrior.
Okay, warrior.
And like where he summoned like this huge demon arm to rip that other demon apart. I have no idea what's going on. Not a clue what happened in that trailer. I never saw anything close to that.
Well, maybe that could be more or less a mage power, because I know you can go arcane with a mage where you have physical abilities, attacks, plus you'll have, you know, your magic powers.
I don't know. I was always rolling around with a mage, and I never saw anything like that.
Oh, well.
Anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, but like without, you know, just going, you know, hey, I'm gonna just spoil the whole thing. No.
Alrighty. I guess we can move on to our next game topic. Is it El Shaddai?
It's El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, okay.
Yeah. This is a game that they showed briefly. I think the first time they showed it was at one of the Tokyo game shows. I think that was last year. It's by Ignition Entertainment. You might remember the lead designer. I don't want to butcher his name. I think you pronounce it Takayusa Sawaki. And this is the guy who was the lead designer in the Devil May Cry series. And also he designed most of the characters in that, and also Okami. So you already know what you're getting into with this guy. He's a very visual guy. But this game, I thought that was, you know, it's a real kind of if I could describe it, it is kind of Devil May Cry-ish, but it's visually stunning. Like, you can go to GameTrailers.com, and they have a couple trailers on there that kind of shows you, I guess, a little bit more of the visual style of it. But it's almost like Devil May Cry, but their main focus isn't the action or the action-based kind of attacks and everything. Like, their main focus is almost more or less platforming to show off the world behind you. And then based on what you do, then I guess the world changes or whatnot. There isn't too much info on it, but, I mean, the game looks gorgeous, though. As of right now, it's only going to be on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. I mean, the way this game looks and the way it runs, I think those are the only two systems that will be able to run it, other than probably, you know, a pretty decent PC. You know, what did you guys think of it when you saw the trailer?
The trailer, like, I was saying earlier, the trailer that, you provided us, was, it looked like it was an alpha stage.
Yeah.
Because it was just fighting in environments that weren't actually there. So I can't really touch on how it looked, because it really didn't look that great.
Yeah, that trailer was one of the first that actually came out for it, but if you watch a couple other videos on it, or you pull up like videos on YouTube, you can see the platforming, but you'll notice how, like, when the platforming starts, it actually pans the camera out, you know, kind of almost at a very extreme range, and you're kind of just doing basic platforming. I'm talking about jumping from just like platform to platform, just kind of jumping. But there's this one scene that I saw where the character you play as, you go through this big, it looks like almost like a cathedral, but the cathedral is enormously huge, and there's this big mural, this big church mural in like the background, and the platforming looks almost like Limbo, like it's like that small on screen, but the cathedral murals and all the pictures and everything and the stained glass is huge, and as you go through the platforming, depending upon I guess on your speed or I guess on the attacks you use and everything, like the background plays to that, and the music is nice, and it's just a visual spectacle, man. I mean, it really looks beautiful. That first trailer just doesn't do it justice. I couldn't find the other one, but if you guys get a chance, even you guys who are listening, look up El Shaddai. I mean, it's a really, really nice looking game. You know, I guess we'll see more of it, but they haven't really released a whole lot of information on it yet.
Was I the only one who was watching the trailer who thought, "Oh my God, that is Brad Pitt"?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a bunch of characters that they use in, you know, a lot of Japanese games is actually modeled after a whole bunch of different people. Like for a long time, the original Ryu character design was designed after Jean-Claude Van Damme. A lot of the characters in Dragon Ball Z were actually designed after a bunch of American actors and stuff like that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of that stuff. So, I mean, you never know. You know, it does look seemingly similar to him. So, I mean, yeah, but you never know if they did or not. So,
yeah, that was just one thing that popped out at me. I'm like, oh my God, that is Brad Pitt. And he's doing stuff. I don't know what, but he's doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you guys a little bit about the backstory behind it. Basically, mm-hmm. It has a little bit of religious background to it. The character you play as is I guess they're going off the mythos of Enoch. And you're basically playing, you're trying to find, I guess not soul shards, but I guess like, you know, shards of heaven. And then, you go into the gameplay where you're trying to, take back fallen angels, or trying to change them back to what they originally were. So it's kind of like a Dante's Inferno type story where you can absolve, or you can choose to punish or whatever. But I don't know if the gameplay is similar, but what you saw in that trailer, like that's actual in-engine gameplay. So like I was saying before we got on the podcast. The animation just in itself, I mean, choppy as it may look now, they're actually using a lot of the same skill set from, the people who made, Ninja Storm, the Naruto game. So, you know, you just take that into account so that the animations will be as smooth as that is. And I believe by the time they finish it, it's going to look good.
Okay. That's interesting. As far as the Brad Pitt thing goes, maybe they're hoping it becomes a movie and they made it look like him, so that it's a there's a better chance for it to be a movie, maybe. I don't
know.
There
you go. Thinking ahead.
And I'll try to find a better trailer to put on the show notes for our viewers, because that, I like you said, that doesn't do justice to it.
Yeah.
Really, because it really looks horrible. Because when I was when I was looking at it, I was like, really? He wants to talk about this?
Yeah. I was like, okay, I have no idea what's going on.
Cause yeah, but I'll try to find a better link for the show notes. Okay, I guess next we have Orion.
Yes, another little small game. Briefly touch on it. Orion apparently is just a game that's just coming out. It's a small indie developed game, but it's being picked up by PlayStation 3 and also Xbox 360, and it will be on PC also. It's just a small game, but it kind of throws first person shooting. It looks like almost like a first person shooting, almost like Tribes from a long time ago, but you know, minus the, you know, the ultra jumping, spiraling, jetpacking gameplay. But it's first person shooting, but they throw in dinosaurs. So, you know, you may be in the first person match, and they have a couple NPCs in the world, and T-Rexes may be running around. So not only are you trying to avoid player to player battle, but you have this third element into it where it's like just dinosaurs just running around. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's an indie game. It'll probably be out on PS3 and Xbox 360. They haven't announced it yet, but more than likely it'll probably be 1,200 Microsoft points or $15 on the PSN. And I mean, from what it looks like, it looks pretty good. Like I said, they're throwing in dinosaurs, so who doesn't love that?
So it's an actual Xbox arcade game, not an indie game.
Yeah. It's not an indie game. Like it began and it is being developed by an indie developer, but it's not going to be, you know, a quote unquote indie Xbox 360 game, because we know where those go to die.
There are some good ones that have done pretty good. But I was telling Stuart this when we first got on the call. To me, it looks like Halo with dinosaurs.
I know, honestly. Right?
Halo with, I mean, not that it's a bad thing, but it basically looks like Halo with dinosaurs, and so that'll definitely really be interesting.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool just throwing that little extra element in there to where, you know, you have to watch out for, you know, that, you know, a huge T-Rex could run and, you know, get you any time. And I think that'll be a little bit better than what we've seen this year with the games like Breach and, you know, last year with Black Light Tango Down and stuff like that. Like, I think this will be, you know, it's a nice little fun, little silly little game. You can jump in a first person shooter and just kind of play around with. I mean, it's kind of like one of those Borderlands experiences, you know, just jump in and, oh my God, it's a T-Rex, you know, and, oh, I just killed you. And, you know, you were paying attention to that raptor while I was, you know, behind you or whatever, you know, just something fun, you know, rather than just a normal shooter grind. And, you know, and it's, I mean, it's indie developed, so it won't be that much as far as the cost. So, you know.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty good from, you know, from the trailer and from what I could see.
Oh, it does. It looks, like I said, it looks like Halo almost.
Yeah.
As far as the graphics go, it's not exactly like Halo, but it looks like it definitely got some, it definitely looks like they were going for a Halo type look to it.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty good, and hopefully it's not like Breach, because that game didn't do too well.
No, it wasn't as fun as it looked.
Yeah. But is there a release date for this yet, or no?
No, not yet. They don't have an actual release date for it. They're just saying it's going to be coming, so we don't know if it's going to be coming soon as part of one of Xbox Live's or PSN arcade title releases, or... But more than likely, Microsoft will bundle it together. It'll probably be a part of this year's Summer of Arcade, and they'll throw it in with a bunch of other, you know, good developed titles. So we'll see.
Alrighty. Next, we got the pre-ordered DLCs. I guess the basically different retailers and have different promotions for, I guess, pre-ordering, like GameStop, Best Buy, and...
Yeah, I just kind of just want to briefly just, I guess, touch on this and kind of get you guys' thoughts on it, because it seems like this is just becoming, like, more and more prevalent as more and more retailers are trying to, you know, steal that market share and get, you know, the most consumers as possible. So I was looking at, you know, because I'm kind of high on L.A. Noir. And, you know, I mean, from Best Buy to Amazon to GameStop, I mean, they got DLC pre-orders that are game specific to each one of these retailers. And you don't know whether or not you're going to be able to download this content. Like, if I go to GameStop and I get, you know, X and X mission, am I still going to be able to download the Best Buy missions, or is that totally exclusive to Best Buy? Like, and I don't like that, especially when you talk about games that are just epic, like Dragon Age 2, like Mass Effect franchises and things like that, where me personally, I'm a big fan of those franchises and I want to enjoy everything that world has for me to, you know, to experience. So I don't want to be stuck in the cold and not have this storyline that I can't play because I didn't pre-order it. And I'm most definitely not going to pre-order it online at Amazon, at the GameStop store, walk into a Best Buy and pre-order all three games and buy all three just to get this exclusive DLC. So I don't know. It's just one of my pet peeves. I think it should stop, or I think they should at least consolidate, or either tell the customer, hey, if you don't pre-order this here, you will never be able to get it. So, or if you do pre-order it, don't worry about it. Within 30 days to whatever exclusive time period, you'll be able to download it. And I guess I would feel more comfortable if they did something like that.
Yeah. Have you ever played any of the pre-order DLCs?
Yeah. I played. I think it was a mission pack for. I think it was a mission pack for Dragon Age, and I think it was. But you could still download it. But on day one, you didn't know that. That was a GameStop pre-order. I can't remember what the other game was. I think it was ODST. I don't think it was a mission pack, but I think it was an exclusive character if you pre-ordered it from GameStop. I think it was Sergeant Johnson, I believe, and that character never came out as a DLC. It's still not on Marketplace now.
Oh yeah, I got that.
Yeah, and people are selling these codes, you know, just like the Flaming Head. If well, this wasn't a pre-order, but if you bought it from GameStop, you got the Flaming Head and you got the exclusive GameStop armor or whatever. Like, that stuff is never going to come out, you know, as it looks like. It's never going to come out on Xbox Live as downloadable content. That's something small, but just think on a larger scale. Think, you know, if Kasumi's memory was game specific to Amazon, and you know, I don't know, the Shadow Broker was exclusive specific to GameStop. Like, what do you do? Like, I love both of those experiences, and I don't want to not play either one of them because I love that world. And I'm most definitely not going to pay $120 for two games just to get some exclusive DLC.
But for the most part, the extra DLC missions or whatever are basically throwaways. I mean, for my experience, it has been. I do hate the fact that some of the stuff, like you were saying, the special characters or weapons or whatever, because like I was playing Gears 2 the other day with a friend, and we were playing Wingman, and he had the Gold Lancer and I didn't.
Yeah.
And it actually, that was a stupid incident, because we both got it midnight release. We both pre-ordered it midnight release, and I didn't get my code for some reason.
Yeah. But
that's another story.
Yeah, but see, that's like game changing things. Like, if you look at the Deus Ex pre-orders, if you pre-order from GameStop, you get some kind of exclusive rocket launcher or whatever, and like a key card hack or something like that. But if you pre-order from Amazon, you get a sniper rifle. Well, I'm the type of person, I like to play stealthy, you know, so I'm kind of leaning towards the Amazon. But you get an extra mission if you pre-order from GameStop. So I'm like, will I ever be able to get that sniper rifle? Because that's my style of gameplay. I like to play, you know, Splinter Cell-ish. And it's just a bummer, man. It's just, you know,
if competition,
if they do it like this. Yeah, well, I think it's just stupid anyway. I mean, if they do it like this, I think they should tell you, hey, even if you don't get it through here, you'll still be able to download it. Or
yeah,
at least the missions, because like you know, with LA Noir, because I know you've been wanting to talk about this for a while. I mean, you know, Walmart, you got the slip of the tongue mission, GameStop,
yeah.
City mission, Amazon, you got the Broderick detective suit. At Best Buy, you get the sharpshooter detective suit.
Right.
Which do you want? Like, I remember, I think it was like Shaun White snowboarding. I think if you pre-ordered from Target, you got a Target slope, like a Target logo slope. A Target branded slope.
Oh, okay.
It just,
but something like that, I wouldn't really care. I mean, a Target branded slope. Would you really care too much about that?
Well, see, if that Target branded slope gave me some extra XP, or if it was something like, you know, hey, if you do this track, you get this unlockable, then yeah, that would make a difference to me, because I want all the content that I can get out of this franchise, because I love it, you know.
I mean, you know, like maybe, you know, going back to LA Noir, maybe you end up going for the Best Buy and you want the sharpshooter suit, and you find out that, you know, in the slip of the tongue mission, Johnny Depp's in it, and you just miss out on that completely.
Right.
that'd piss me off.
Yeah, I mean, I only have a major problem if it's something that will affect gameplay, mostly. Like, Deshane in the Ustream chat is saying Infamous has extra powers depending on where you order it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, then you get into all that.
But if it's like a gold Lancer, you know, of course I'm upset, but it's not going to perform any difference. It just looks shiny. I mean, I'm upset that I didn't get it, you know, and everyone else has it, but it's really, I get over it pretty quickly. But
yeah, I would get over that. I just think that, you know, because I mean, you got that, I mean, you know, I mean, but you got that 12-year-old kid that all he plays is Gears of War. Or all he plays is Call of Duty, and that gold Lancer or that rifle is something special to him because he pre-ordered it, he had it first or whatever, and like just to not have something like that and can never get it ever, that's just a big thing with some people, because some people, like my cousin, all he plays is SOCOM, or he switches over to Modern Warfare 2 every once in a while, but that's all he plays. So, you know, to like not get that piece of content would be a major, you know, kind of thing for him, because that's all he plays. He doesn't play anything else. He just plays those two shooters. But I think that I understand why the retailers don't do it, because they're trying to get you to come spend money with them. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm not knocking them for that. But I would just wish that at least the developers would post it up on their website somewhere. You know, it can be on a forum somewhere small, and say, hey, you know, if you pre-order these places, that's fine, go ahead and do it, but this will be available here, or this will not be available because we don't have plans to release it to whatever public or whatever. So
yeah,
I just think that it behooves the developer to tell their fans, at least, I mean, especially people who are investing money into these franchises more and more, you know, I think it's only fair that they do it.
It is fair that, I mean, whether or not, like, just putting in small print available for purchase at a later date, yeah, or something like that. But I mean, and you get a lot of people who don't know about the pre-order bonuses because, you know, they don't pay too much attention to it as well.
Right.
And I don't know. I hardly pre-order games. It's got to be a really good game for me to pre-order, or something really good pre-order bonus for it. But yeah, definitely, I'm not a fan if it affects the gameplay in any way, but I mean, if it's a little throwaway, if it seems like it's just a throwaway mission or something like that, I really don't care too much. But there are some things where it's a big deal. Like Deshane was saying in the chat, Infamous, the extra powers, that's a big deal.
They did it with Killzone 3, when it, like, for 24 hours, if you pre-ordered it or something, you got to have all the unlockables for the first 24 hours.
Well, that's a time thing, though. And that's something you're able to unlock it eventually right. in the game without having to see stuff like that. I don't mind because that's just something that's just an extra little perk for pre-ordering it that everyone will end up getting. It's just it's a benefit to pre-order it.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different places doing pre-order stuff like. What we got? Best Buy, Target, sometimes yeah. Amazon, GameStop. I mean, four different places. I mean, personally, I don't have a Target or Walmart too. I don't have a Target. I don't have a Best Buy. I just got GameStop and Walmart. So mostly, I pre-order my stuff from GameStop because I really think the people at Walmart would look at me weird if I said I wanted to pre-order a game. Because the people there probably don't know what they're doing. At least it seems like it.
If it's not Spyro or Madden, they don't know.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember the whole Spyro thing they did.
But, and especially when you got, like, Kmart, who does, like, you buy the game first week, you get $25 credit towards something else.
Yeah.
That really money towards another game discourages, you know, getting it from Best Buy or GameStop, or at least it does for me. I mean, I got 25 credit for getting it at Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and I actually got a little wall poster thingy too. I didn't even know I was supposed to get that, but they gave it to me, so even Kmart's got stuff they little pre-order bonuses, I guess, or day one bonuses or however you want to say it. But yeah, it's definitely a big I think it's a big problem that needs to I think they need to it's mainly up to the developers, I guess, really, when you come down to it, you can't fault GameStop or Best Buy or whatever because they're just trying to get you to buy on their side. It's the developers who choose whether or not they'll release it at a later date for download or, you know, whether it's free or purchased. And honestly, I some of the limited editions stuff I don't like either. Like the some of the content you get for, you know, buying the limited edition or collector's edition of the games as well. I mean, I think that kind of falls in the same category almost.
Yeah, I mean, it almost does, but I can see, you know, because especially for like something like limited edition, take something like the Hellgun edition of Killzone. You know, you get the little helmet and everything like that and stuff like that. But take something like the Halo Reach Legendary Edition. You know, I mean, sure, you get the little Halo Reach, you know, plastic monocle, which is, you know, I mean, it's cool if you want to set it up on top of your dresser drawer or thing or whatever. But, you know, when you have DLC like the Flaming Head Code, like you can go on eBay and they're selling that freaking thing for almost the same price of the game. You know? Like, I mean, and you can't get it anywhere else but in that legendary box.
Yeah, and Black Ops is a big example for me. They have in the limited edition or the hardened and prestige edition, they have all the zombie maps from World at War.
Right. Right,
and that's a big deal. I mean, that's like that's 4 or 5 maps right there. And
yeah, we were talking about that.
They should just sell that. They should sell that. You know, on they should release that as DLC for people to buy who didn't get to pick up the, you know, special editions, because I would gladly buy those. And
yeah, I mean,
I look on eBay like you said, and they're selling for like $70 just for the code.
Yes,
it's ridiculous. So, I mean, yeah, definitely it's a big problem, and hopefully developers will change. And
developers, stop it.
But stuff like DeShane also brought up that Crysis, when you pre-order it, you get bonus XP for multiplayer. Stuff like that I don't really care about because it's just a little extra. You know, just speeding you along a bit, and it doesn't really take away from the people who just pick it up from Walmart or GameStop, you know, a week or 2 weeks after it releases or whatever, because they're still going to be able to get to that spot. It's just going to take a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. definitely was looking forward to talking about that, because I have noticed that. I have really noticed it, but I never thought about it, talking about it as a topic, honestly.
Yeah. And it's becoming more and more prevalent, man, as these games get more popular, because, you know, now these retailers and everybody's seeing the potential on, you know, the ability to make money off video games, and, you know, they're trying to get as much as they can, which is fine. I just think that developers should be held accountable in some way to let the fans know, hey, this will never be gotten anywhere else. So, you know, sign up for our mail list and then we'll mail you a code, or pay us whatever amount, then we'll mail you codes as they come out or whatever. I would even do that. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Or we'll release it, you know, a month after the game's released for $5 or.
Right.
Yeah.
I really haven't noticed, but is there like an outrage on outcry on this on the internet? Because I haven't seen it.
No, I mean, surprisingly, no. But
I would say it's like I was saying, I've noticed it and I've been kind of upset with it. I think everyone's been upset with it, but a lot of people are like, what are you going to do about it? That's just the way it is. I think a lot of people don't.
The internet being quiet about something they can't fix?
The best way is to, you know, I guess vote with your wallet, but if you don't buy the game at all, you're really losing out, you know, a lot more than you would.
In this case, voting with your wallet doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly, because if you don't buy the game at all, you don't get that experience at all.
I mean, if you just do one thing, that's just telling them, oh, this works because we got them selling this, getting this one thing. Maybe they'll want to go over here next time because it'll be something similar. I don't think it'll count like that, though.
Yeah, it's not like boycotting a game where they're not getting any money at all, because let me tell you, when Mass Effect 3 drops, I'm going to be there day one, $60, DLC or not. I got to have that experience, you know. So, I mean, you know, if GameStop has an exclusive armor and exclusive mission or whatever, I'll probably just go ahead and get it. And, you know, knowing my love of Mass Effect, I probably would buy all three copies.
I definitely think, you know, this generation's all about downloadable content. I mean, this generation really introduced it, and it's just it makes a game last longer, and basically gives it life. And just whether or not people will, you know, pick it up or not, because, you know, sometimes if it's, you know, if there's not DLC for a game and it's too short, I'm definitely not picking it up half the time. But it's definitely, I think since it has only been a few years for, you know, this generation, what, 5 years? DLC is still fairly new. So, you know, hopefully they'll figure it out and fix, you know, get all the kinks out of all the pre-order stuff. And because that's
sure
fairly
that
new.
From horse armor.
I'm
pretty sure they learned from that.
Wow. I haven't thought about horse armor in forever. But Henry, you were talking about Mass Effect 3, definitely playing it and maybe picking up multiple copies. Would you be tempted to pick it up for the PS3 now that there's cloud saves?
Oh yeah.
Plus members?
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's one of the biggest things, because we were talking about this before the podcast, because a lot of the games on 360, and of course now that I have a PS3, I'm automatically a PS3 fanboy. But a lot of the games on Xbox 360, I know a couple that I've tried to save won't let you copy it. It'll let you transfer it totally over and off of whatever you're trying to get it from, but it won't let you copy it at all. But PSN Plus members will have the ability to save their games in the cloud. So, you know, now if you got that Mass Effect game save, and you know, if you worry about, your hard drive crashing or whatever, can't get that memory back, don't worry about it. I mean, you know, also, you know, hey, God forbid if your PlayStation gets stolen, you know, hey, you still have that memory there. But I know a lot of networks are actually doing this on the networking side. Like, we had a game night a couple months back. It was me, Heroic, Ace Black or whatever. I know, I had totally deleted my Rainbow Six save, But when I booted it back up, it still had all of my my unlockables, all my clothing, my guns that I had ranked up for, and everything. So most of the game developers have already kind of recognized this and started making you know different implementations to actually cater to this. But this is awesome. This is just another reason to get PSN Plus. I personally don't have it yet, because most of my library is on the 360, and I'm still kind of comfortable saving it on flash drives and things of that nature. But on games that will require saves that I really want to keep, like, you know, multiple play types in Uncharted 2, are multiple game saves that I have in Heavy Rain that I'm thinking about buying. You know, those type of games, even people who are owners of Mass Effect 3 on PS3, they'll be able to save it, and from now on be able to save the rest of their games also. So I think it's huge. I think it's huge for PSN Plus. It's just another reason to get it.
Well, yeah, I know. And I know that it's a, like, a really big deal for, like, game reviewers. You know, like, I listen to the Giant Bomb every week, and then,
right,
you know, they're saying, like, you know, when we're reviewing PlayStation 3 games, we got to haul our PlayStation 3 back and forth between home and the office. With this, they just upload it to the cloud, and boom, it's in the office 360, and it's at the home 360. You know, they're really loving this. But I mean, other than, you know, just backing up your saves, for the home consumer, I don't think it adds as a big deal.
But that's, well, see, just, I think it
360.
Over. I think it is and it isn't, because it's kind of like an insurance policy. You know, it's kind of like, hey, if you've paid your house off, you know, you really don't have to have homeowners insurance if you don't want to. If you paid your car off, you really don't have to have you go and get liability. But it's kind of like that insurance policy, because it's like the what if. And then, you know, I mean, me personally, I don't wish this upon anybody, but I've had whole systems stolen from me. I've had, you know, stuff broken. I've had, you know, my system to get waterlogged, and then, you know, it's dead at that point. So it's like, man, out of all the things that could happen, all my game saves are gone. I got to do all that ranking up again. I got to play through Dragon Age again. Are you serious? I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, play through Mass Effect again. Can you just imagine playing through all that stuff? And then some of the decisions you really don't remember, so you can't really have what you had before. So it's not the same, and that kind of ruins your whole experience. So, like I said, it's kind of like that insurance policy. But I really like what PlayStation is doing, because when you have PSN Plus, you have much more than that. Like, it's much more than just a cloud save. That's just an added bonus by being a member. You know, you get free games, you get first access to, you know, the newly released Mortal Kombat demo. Even though I'm not a fan of it, you know, but hey, you know, I mean, it's there if you want it. So
it's a plus. It's an extra. It's
right,
like the name implies. I mean, it's not like you need it for the, you know, to play online like Xbox. So I do like that aspect to it. I really do. The fact that you get, you know, extras, basically. You're paying for extras and perks and, you know, downloading and, you know, I guess the downloading while the console's off or whatever that is, and downloading in the background. Or
yeah, it's the updates.
Yeah, updates.
The downloadable updates, yeah.
Definitely, because I'm going to look into maybe getting it just for that, because it's ridiculous. Because I was trying to watch Netflix on the PS3, and it makes you log online, and it says, oh, there's an update. Well, I can't watch Netflix because I have to update?
Yep, what? Without warning. And, dude, I'm telling you, man, luckily I have both systems, man, because I did that with Uncharted. It was the first night that I bought my PS3, and I was going to jump in and play Killzone 3. And I was like, well, you know, let me just go ahead and try out, you know, Uncharted 2. I got it here. I'll go ahead and try it out. That was the worst decision I could have ever made. I put that bad boy in. It's going. And, you know, let me tell you, coming over from 360, you have to change your gaming habits. And I'm like, and my wife's like, okay, have you got the movie ready yet? I'm like, no, it's updating. It shouldn't take that long. An hour and a half later, you know, we went to the store and came back. It's still updating. I'm like, are you serious? So I just turned on 360, watched Netflix on there. But man, I was like, if I didn't have the 360 there, I would have been out of luck, because you can't stop it, you know, unless you turn it off, you know. I don't know.
I mean, I was just wanting to watch Netflix in our living room on the big screen TV, and you know, I didn't want to have to watch it on my laptop or on my TV in my room. Just, you know, wanted a better experience. You got an PSN update. You've got to update it. You can't watch Netflix. I think that's just stupid. You can't watch. You can't.
I mean, it's the exact same way with the Xbox, but the Xbox is just so fast that you don't care.
Well, there's not that many actual, you know, updates for the Xbox. It's just mostly it's individual games or programs where you open up, you know, Mass Effect and there's an update.
But even the new dashboard.
No, I'm talking about the update for the PlayStation, you know, in general, because right. You have to log on. You have to log on to you know, access Netflix, and when you access Netflix, it says, you know, pops up log on, password, username, or whatever. Or if you have it automatically entered, you can just click it. But it says, oh, there's an update. You need to update, and it won't let you do Netflix at all.
Well, I think it's kind of dumb that it lets you get that far.
Yeah, I really think
for telling you.
I really did not like that at all. And the update was, I think, a big one because it was the one for cloud save, I think. Or whatever, it was the 3.6.
Yeah, I believe that what it was for.
So it was, I think, a lengthy download. So I was just like, damn it, this really sucks. But luckily I have Play On, so I was able to access Netflix through that. Without,
oh, that's cool.
Yes, but, you know, that's just an extra thing I have. I shouldn't have to use Play On for Netflix when it's on the PSN. But that's just an experience I had that I really did not like. Yeah, and you were mentioning some games you aren't able to transfer on the Xbox. You aren't able to copy the saves. There's not that many, but there are some. The main one I've noticed was Too Human for me, and that I don't know if I'm gonna play Too Human again. I sure as hell would like to pick it up because it's probably like $5 now, and I really enjoyed that game. But you know, if I didn't have that save, I would really be upset because you know I keep all my saves in case I want to go back and check out my games again, and that's one of the only games I can't back up on my flash drive and my backup flash drive for my flash drive.
Yeah. And I think I tried to do Ninja Gaiden 2, and I think it only let me transfer it completely off of my jump drive. So I'm fine with that. But man, I just wish I could just have it on just both, you know? I think that was the only other game that I kind of ran into where it wouldn't let me transfer it, but you know.
Yeah. And I would like to be able to maybe have the option for Xbox to store your ID, you know, your login information on a flash drive and your Xbox too. You can only do one.
Yeah, you can only do one or the other.
Because you know I don't want to always have to plug in my flash drive to log in, but I would like to have my login stuff. So if I can just carry my flash drive. Because I carry my flash drive with me everywhere, because it's got almost everything I need, if I need anything. So, you know, if I'm at a friend's house, and he wants to play, say, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, or Street Fighter, or something like that, or even, you know, whatever game, I would love to be able to just plug in my flash drive, and, you know, it to automatically work without having to, it be only on my flash drive, and not on my console.
Yeah, I have the same experience when I go over to a friend's house to do Dance Central, because you know all the songs are on my account.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that lasted actually a bit longer than I thought it would. But yeah. We had some pretty good points. Definitely a lot, you know, a lot more improvements that they can do, and I gotta give kudos for Sony because they're doing stuff. They're doing stuff that Microsoft just isn't.
Well,
even though
Steam's been doing that for years, though.
True. Yeah. But I'm just talking about console wise.
For years.
Yeah, I'm just talking about console wise, and boy, do I love the Steam Cloud support. Oh, that's saved my bacon so many times.
Same here.
But I really glad Sony's doing stuff Microsoft won't. I just want them to do stuff Microsoft does. Like party chat. But
yeah.
I'm not going to go in that because it's basically broken record just about. Next, we got the CEA, which is the Consumer Electronics Association. They're trying to standardize 3D glasses. So I know when we were talking about whether 3D was going to be the next big thing or whatever, the next big jump, that this was one of the big problems that I think you said, Henry, that it wouldn't be because there were so many different glasses and it was just So what do you think about this?
I think it's good that they are making a standard. The only problem, like they were stating, like kind of vaguely stating in the article, is whose standard is going to be the standard, you know? Because then, you know, you got Case Logic, you got Oakley, you got Samsung, you got Panasonic, you got Sony. I mean, you have all these manufacturers who wants a piece of this, you know, three-dimensional pie. That are they going to be willing to bend to what the CEA wants, you know? Because technically they really don't have any power. I mean, they're kind of like a parliament of the electronic world. Like, they can kind of scream from a corner, but you know, what power do you really have? Like, can you tell me what to do? I don't really know.
I don't know too much about it, but I would think they have a big, you know, say in stuff. But I vote for whoever's is the less expensive to be the standard.
The less expensive and work the best.
Right.
Yes.
But see, exactly. You can do that because I think they did something similar back in the day when they were having the big CES shows. And this is like pre-HD DVD, pre-Blu-ray. And everybody was jumping on the HD DVD bandwagon. I mean, I'm talking about from Microsoft to all manufacturers they were talking with, the CES show, you know, executives and everything. Lo and behold, was like, screw you guys. We're going to make Blu-ray. And we don't care what anybody says, and we're gonna win. And they did, and and that's the standard. And it, all the money is going towards Sony's house. So can you get people like Sony and LG and these other big names to bend? You know, I guess to kind of come to a common ground to make a standard. You know, that's my only thing. Like how much power can the CEA kind of exhibit, or can they come to a consensus and actually make these manufacturers work together and come up on a standard? Because everybody has their own design. Everybody thinks that their tech is the best, you know. So that's my only thing is can they do that? Can they agree upon that?
If they really want 3D TV to be mainstream, like they want us to believe it already is, they would it has to be standardized. It really does.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no way, you know, you need, like, you know, 10 glasses to watch, you know, to go over to a friend's house.
Yeah, you know, 10 glasses for a Super Bowl party.
I'm going over to Bobby Joe's house. I need to bring my Panasonic glasses. Oh, but we might go over to Sam, so I might take my Sony glasses, too. Really? No. It's not the way it should be.
You want to finish? Sorry.
That and make, you know, normal glasses that people wear also work for 3D too? Because that'd be great. Because so I don't have to put something over mine.
Yeah, like I said previously, like, you know, back in, like, years ago, I had magnetic attachments that were sunglasses that just, you know, magnetically attached to my glasses over my actual, you know, they were really thin, not too, you know, Not too bad, and it just, you know, easily, they were just the lens parts, and they just magnetically fit over, you know, the lenses of my actual glasses. Something like that would be amazing if they could do something, you know, like
that. I have transition lenses. I've had them for years because I love them. You know, something like that, you know, detects it, you know, it sees that you're seeing a TV, so it goes to that.
Yeah, but I definitely think that the three... You know, standardizing 3D glasses is not going to be a huge thing if the manufacturers like, you know, LG, Sony, Samsung, all the if they are confident on their TVs, on the way their TVs are, the way their TVs stand out. If they're actually confident on the way their TVs stand out, then I'm sure they'll all be glad to standardize, you know, to make their glass, you know, sell their glasses and make it a standard, you know, like, you know, LG making their glasses like Sony or whatever. It just depends on how confident they are on their TVs.
Yeah. And I mean, just to piggyback your point, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about this, like, if they standardize the 3D glasses, who's to say, or, you know, I guess who would tell them how to standardize their technology that's within their televisions? Because some of these TVs do 3D just a tad bit differently than some others. So if you have standard glasses, you're kind of gonna have to make a standard way of making your 3D image, you know, because that would have to work with the standardized, you know, glasses.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean that. I meant like as far as like the TV being able to connect to the internet and have apps and stuff. You know, it has Netflix and Hulu and Pandora and whatever and stuff like that. Because, you know, some TVs have those, some don't.
I mean, that I don't think that they should, you know, standardize the technology, just the glasses. Because, you know, that'd be the thing that they fight over. Like, you know, like right now, who's the clearest, who's the biggest, blah, 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 who's the thinnest.
Yeah.
Like, this would be, you know, who has the better technology. That would be the thing they fight over, not, you know, like, we have the better glasses.
But so you have manufacturers that are touting their visual. I mean, you have manufacturers that are making strictly glasses. What's that company that makes the real thin glasses where they look like sunglasses, but they're supposed to be almost $300 for them, but they're supposed to be the most, you know, like the best 3D glasses out there. I can't think of the company's name. Slips of mine. But you know, they're saying that their glasses are the best. So, you know, who do you follow at that point, or is there testing in place to find out who has the best quality? And then it's really all subjective to a different person's eyes, because our glasses, I don't have perfect vision, so you have to find people to test this stuff out that have great vision, you know, all this type of things, you know. And they're saying they have to do this. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you just don't have to go with like one design or something like that. Just make them all work for the same TV. Like, you can still have your Sony glasses and your Panasonic glasses. Just make them all work for one TV. That's it. That's all we're asking for. You know, that's what the standardization is. It's just making them all work.
Yeah, because, you know, all the Sony can make theirs look better and or feel more comfortable or however. It's just... Yeah, I understand what Stuart's saying.
Yeah.
But all this is still, you know, I don't think anyone's trying to say 3D's mainstream. I think you said, Stuart, that the companies are trying to make us think it's mainstream. I don't think anyone's trying to make us think it's mainstream yet, but it's getting there. I mean, it's slowly trying. I mean, it's just we need more. Lately? I don't have a Best Buy.
Yeah,
sad face.
I don't either, but
I have Sears, and like I said, the 3D glasses, someone stole them, and they've never replaced them, so can't really look at you do that. But it's just we need more good movies that do 3D right before it can have any chance of becoming mainstream.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we need more Avatars and less. More Avatars and less Avatar Airbender.
Well,
I guess
more or less Final Destination.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Final Destination series. Just that one was, you know, everything was coming out the screen.
Oh, and they're making another one too. After they touted that the last one was the final one.
You know they're gonna make another
it's
one.
Final. It's just like Final Fantasy. There's no final one.
I stopped watching after 3, but that's a tangent.
Well, I know something that we don't have to have 3D glasses for, and that's looking up on the super full moon.
Yeah, good, good, good transition there. Wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't either.
I'm not sure who put this up.
Okay, I did.
Okay, you want to...
This Saturday, I gotta look.
19th.
March 19th, yeah, thank you. The moon is going to be the closest it's been in 20 years. Like, it's supposed to be huge.
18.
Yep.
Yeah, 18 years.
But, like, it's supposed to cause all these natural disasters, like earthquakes, volcanoes, you know. What we're kind of seeing now in Japan, that's kind of what's, you know, a repercussion of, you know, kind of, you know, what's to come, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And I was... And, you know, parents and teachers know this thing. If there's a full moon, kids are just crazy. They're just insane.
Not just kids, adults, too, that are actually insane.
Well, you know, they're insane all the time.
Insane people come out more when there's, like, full moons and stuff.
Yeah, but I told my mom, who's also a teacher, I was like, we know what the kids are like when there's a regular full moon. There's a super full moon. I'm going to call it in. I'm not going to go in next week at all.
You got kids in the schoolyard howling at the moon.
It's going to last a couple days. It doesn't, you know, right on the full moon, it lasts like that entire week.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's going to be crazy. I'm definitely going to make sure to keep an eye out on it because I like looking at stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I think a couple months ago there was this big eclipse that happened. I stayed up till like fucking 2-3 a.m. something crazy early. Just kept looking outside. Just kept looking outside, waiting to see it. So I'm a big, I guess, astronomy geek when it comes to the sky and stuff. I really like looking at stuff like that.
I just really hope it doesn't like, you know, rain or cloudy or something because I want to see this.
Oh, that would suck. Oh, I hope it doesn't.
Like I haven't seen the sun in a couple months. I mean, I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, but it definitely going to be interesting to see what all does happen.
Oh, yeah, if the Earth gets destroyed, you know, a year early. Yeah.
Well, or it's just one of the events leading up to 2012.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, okay, next, I guess we got something that I actually saw Paladin, formerly known as iFester, he tweeted about it. He was telling us, he was saying for us Americans to not complain and or stop, quit. I'll read his quote: "Quit whining about your AT&T caps coming. In Canada, I pay $45 for 60 gigabytes, and my overage charges are $2 per gig." And that's just crazy. I mean, I couldn't really see I couldn't live like that. Honestly, I go through media too much, and currently I have AT&T, but I'm gonna be switching very soon. Not because of this, but this is a plus, I guess. And the current the cap will take place in May. I think May 2nd. Where is the? Well, it's in May, so that's a couple months from now. Regular AT&T DSL users will have a 150 gig cap, and the UVerse, which is higher speed, will have 250 gig cap, and $10 for an additional $50 of their 50 gig cap. Wow,
goodness gracious, man!
So that's a hell of a lot better than Canada, but.
Yeah,
I still don't like the fact that they're restricting.
Yeah,
I like unlimited. We've had unlimited for, you know, we're America. That's the thing we were able to tote about is our internet wasn't capped, or for the most part, anyway.
This is America, gosh darn it.
Definitely,
you gotta say it like that.
But yeah, what do you guys think about this? Are you afraid that other providers will start doing this, or
that's exactly what I'm afraid of, man. I mean, me being a consumer and having multiple people stay in my house with me, I mean, like I was telling you guys before the show, and if, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you can send, you know, all your emails, hate mail, whatever, to thegeeksftw@gmail.com. But my wife uses Pandora. We use Last.fm. I mean, I have a PS3. I have an Xbox 360. I have a Wii. I mean, we have Netflix on all the systems. I mean, stuff is running on our iPhones on Wi-Fi at home. I didn't even think of that. I mean, iPhones running on Wi-Fi home. As soon as I come in the house, I'm always on Twitter, always on the internet, in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Even when I'm not here, when I'm at work, somebody's always at home on the internet. So, I mean, for me, that would be, a major problem for me if they were trying to cap it off. Because I would be one of those customers that would be, you know, paying the extra fee per month or per usage or whatever, for how much I'm using. I mean, you know, thankfully I have Time Warner right now. But if these companies like Time Warner, Grande Communications, Verizon, if they see AT&T is making a lot of money off this, they're going to start doing the same thing.
Yeah. Do you think 200, 250 gigs is not enough? You think you go through more than that a month?
I do not know. That's what I say. You know, if there's anybody out there that has knowledge of how many gigs, or I guess the average person would actually use, please send that to me. I'm at KNOX Broadcast on Twitter, or you can send it to the email address that we have. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't really know how much usage I use. You know what? I'm actually going to find that out to see how much I actually use.
Yeah, I was about to say, if anyone knows of a way to, you know,
to kind
of
scale it, yeah,
to log how much and find out how much you use. Like, there's a program where you can track or however, but I'd definitely be interested in seeing how much I use, because
because think about Netflix. I mean, Netflix, you're streaming video, and then it's sometimes, especially if you're playing it on the PS3, you're streaming 5.1 HD plus video content, you know, in most cases. So
yeah, or you're downloading a demo and it's a gig or a gig and a half,
right?
And yeah, that you know, or you're downloading a couple demos, and you're downloading Xbox Live demos and, you know, stuff, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, or like you said, I mean, you have Mass Effect on Games on Demand. How many gigs is that? I mean, Mass Effect is what, like 6 gigs, 6, 7, 8 gigs?
6, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I mean, those numbers can add up pretty quick. 250 gigs, you know, it is a lot, but for people who, you know, who use this stuff constantly, like us, you know, and people who have families too, like me. I mean, I have family that's constantly over here, and we're constantly entertaining, going back and forth with relatives, you know, watching stuff, you know, doing everything together. And I don't know how much I use, but I'm pretty sure I can rack it up real quick.
Yeah, or like Deshane also says in the chat, maybe we should have had him on in the show. I mean, again, since he's pulling up a lot of great points, but
I know, right?
he's saying, or a game off of Steam that's 20 gigs. You know, if you're a PC gamer, yeah. Or like I just thought about it. Like Vlad's from OFR, he's got an Xbox, and I think both of his sons have Xboxes, and yeah, he's got a PS3. I mean, that's three Xboxes. You know, doing all kinds of gaming, and you know, could be downloading free demos and, you know, a gig and a half demo three times.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, me, I don't know if I use 250 gigs because it's mainly just me. Honestly, it's just me. Because my parents, they barely touch the internet. But, I definitely would, if I had a family who, you know, was active in the, you know, online and stuff like that, I'd be worried. I mean, especially when I do get a family, if this happens, because, you know, internet's just, you know, as the generations go on, internet's just being, they're just raised with the internet. They're just familiar with it from birth, basically. So people are going to be using the internet a lot more, you know, throughout, as the years go on. So capping, it seems like a big problem that will happen. Yeah. If it spreads.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a big issue for us geeks, but I'm just hoping the average consumers maybe will I'm hoping that there aren't too many average consumers who this doesn't affect, because if there's so many people that this doesn't affect, then it will spread.
I'm on Comcast, and I don't know if we're capped or not, because I remember a while back I downloaded like 10 seasons of a show, and we got called on it.
I want to say Comcast it does cap. I want to say I heard that like a year ago or whatever, and there's a big commotion on some podcasts I was listening to that someone was saying, you need to call your Comcast and you need to call your cable provider and tell them you don't want the cap and this is ridiculous. And I guess that's maybe what needs to be done, is we, you know, us geeks need to call and say, you know, this is ridiculous. We don't want, this is a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, it was only, you know, what I use normally, it's fine. It was just when I use it excessively in, you know, downloading 20 seasons, you know, not 10 seasons of a show plus what I normally use, that kind of pushed the limit. But, you know, what I normally use, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm always on the internet.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest things that as geeks we probably are fearing the most. I know I'm definitely fearing this. I don't want to be capped, especially I don't want it to get anywhere near the way it is in Canada. 60 gigs, I'd go through that in like maybe a week, 2 weeks. I mean, 60 gigs is nothing.
Yeah, for me, that would be nothing.
Because it's like DeShane said, you know, 20 gig game, you know, if you get three games off of Steam like that in a month, there's your, you know, there's your cap. Can't do anything else without paying an arm and a leg. And but $10 for 50 gigs, I hate it, but it's a lot better than Canada. So I'm kind of torn, because I'm glad it's nowhere near like Canada, but I don't want it to be happen at all.
Well, that's why America has its rights.
Definitely. Next, I guess we can get into our I recommend section. Stuart, it's your week.
Yes, this was my week. This wasn't even mine. This was my sister's recommendation.
It still counts for you, though.
Yes, it does. I watched this show, you know, a couple years ago. I got through the first couple episodes, and I'm like, this is kind of good. Okay, I should name it first. The Legend of the Seeker.
It has nothing to do with Quidditch.
No, it doesn't. and like, I thought, well, you know, this is kind of good, but there's something about it that makes me want to stop watching this. And, you know, last week, my sister started, you know, found it in my Insta queue and started watching it. They got farther than I did. And they said, after, you know, episode 7 or something, it gets really good. So, I went back and watched through episode 7, and they're right. It gets really good past that. I don't know how far you guys watched it.
I watched the first episode, just because I haven't had too much time. I like it. Isn't it by Sam Raimi?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to episode 3. A little bit after he finally, I guess, accepted his place as a seeker, got the Sword of Truth. Sword of Truth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Sword of Truth. He got the Sword of Truth, and then he finally started to, I guess, you know, accept his power, and you know, pretty much, you know, finding his, I guess, his will to fight against the forces that he has to in order to find his path as a seeker. Then, of course, I guess a small spoiler, you know, the thing that he was supposed to have as his roadmap, you know, kind of got, you know, destroyed. So I'm at that point. It was kind of cheesy at first. I'm like, oh, it's the same lines, the same old archaic tone, but I'm just a sucker for slow motion fighting, man. Like, oh, when that slow motion fighting came, I was like, yes, this is it. Slow motion fighting.
Yeah. But, it is created by Sam Raimi, who's done, a lot of good. He's done the Spider-Man's, even 3, yeah. which that's not good. I admit that. That was not good. he did the Evil Dead and a few other stuff.
Yeah.
Drag Me to Hell. I enjoyed that. But so it one thing I got to say is it looks amazing. It looks it looks like a major motion picture movie quality.
Yeah,
it's filmed very, very well to be a TV show.
And it gets more. Like the it gets higher.
Yeah, and didn't his debut on like the WB or something like that?
I don't know. I
it's still filmed really, really good.
I don't know.
But the thing I like I said, when I noticed, I just was amazed by just the look of it. It just looked so amazing. And I'm looking at it now, and it's saying it was distributed in the U.S. by Disney-ABC. I guess it had a British it had a British feel to it. I thought it was something British too. And honestly, this has been something that Netflix has been like recommending me to watch for like the last year and a half. Like every time I go on Netflix.com, it's like, oh, you should watch this. You should watch this. You should watch this. So,
okay, I'm gonna get into the story a little bit.
Okay.
The big baddie Darkenral is you know I want to rule the land, that type of thing, and the Seeker is supposed to destroy him, and he's helped his companions are a wizard he's old he's funny. He really is. He's really funny. And, the love interest is, it's called a confessor. Just kind of, she can make you her slave.
Yeah.
She can make me her slave anytime she wants to.
Bouching a bow wow. But, I'm looking at the wiki of it, and one of my thoughts was, it looks kind of like Lord of the Rings style, like the location wise, and the location is New Zealand, so.
Yeah.
Unless I'm mistaken, that's where they shot Lord of the Rings, was New Zealand, so. Yeah. That's interesting, right there.
The locations are really good.
Yeah.
If you watch it, from the beginning, watch it through. I stopped at episode 4 the first time I watched it, because, it's a slow start. It's a slow burn at the very first. But, once it gets, into episode 7 and you get into the forbidden love type stuff, it actually gets really good.
And there's only 2 seasons, I think?
On Netflix, yeah. I don't know if there's any more.
Well, on Wikipedia, it's saying it. The original run was 2008 to 2010. Some odd dates in between.
Yeah, so it's probably just 2, maybe at 3 at the most, because my brother, he's been hyping this up for a while. But yeah, they have both of them on Netflix.
Yeah, and from what I saw of the first episode, it's pretty good. I'm hooked on. I'm liking it. I'm probably gonna watch more of it. It's definitely I've said this a couple times, but it just looks amazing. I can't get over that fact that it looks like it should be a movie, the quality-wise.
Yeah, it's...
So, definitely check this out, especially if you're a sucker for, visuals.
Yeah, it's a good fantasy story.
Yeah, definitely. So, great pick.
As always.
Yep, as always. Next, I guess we can talk about, we finally have a podcast app for Android.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are probably thinking...
Oh, hold on. Yay! Woohoo! Yay!
I know a lot of people are probably thinking, why isn't there an Android app? Or why isn't there an iPod app? iPhone app? Oh, that William or that Poetic Soul is an Android fanboy. That's why there's not. No, that's not it.
Okay, that's not the only reason.
Well, no. I fought. I tried getting us the iPhone app, but apparently because of the new Apple's policy on subscription type apps and 30% and all that stuff that we discussed in a couple episodes back. I can't remember which one it was, but it was a few episodes back, three or four. But apparently, because of that, the company that makes the podcasting apps, like we use the same company that that the OFR guys did, or the Post Game Reports that the Talking About Games website they use. Apparently, they aren't offering iPhone apps because of the policy. Apple's policy. So we have no, so Apple's policy is really affecting, you know, users and developers, and really making them not want to, you know, choose that and go with Android. So,
blame Apple.
Yes, blame Apple. If you have an Android, I definitely recommend you get it. We're going to support it with bonus content. And there's some really cool, we got our logo, you know, as a wallpaper, and the background to the logo with the Geeks FTW taken out, thanks to, Paladin, formerly known as iFester, cause they just made it just a hassle. I would submit the images and they'd be like, oh, well, you need to do this. Oh, well, we're doing something different now and we want you to have the images like this. So I had to beg him and thank him so many times to, you know, change the images and, you know, fix them for us, because I'm not too savvy on graphic design. So I guess I'm giving him an early shout out right now. Definitely. It's only $1.99. You know, they have to charge, I guess. We couldn't. If we had our way, we'd make it free.
Of course.
Because I just want to have an app, you know, for our podcast. But you can do all the typical stuff that other apps have. I don't know if other people, if any of y'all own one of these apps, but you can, I know Stuart owns our app, but you can call the voice line from the app. You can email from the app. You can, you know, follow our Twitter from the app. Basically, all the different types of contacts, you know, you can give us feedback or whatever is on the app. So, very convenient and easy. And like we said, bonus content every week.
That's the only way you're going to get the bonus content is, one, if you listen to the show live, and two, if you download this app.
Definitely. Maybe we'll stop recording live just for the app. I don't know. We may have to talk about that. But definitely, and it's not going to be something we're going to release later on down the line for, you know, regular people, because I don't think other people would really care to listen to stuff that's 4 weeks old or whatever, topics that are 4 weeks old. But anyways, definitely wanted to bring that up because I know I'm definitely glad, and as you heard, Stuart's glad with his cheering.
Something you didn't mention is you can stream, you know, every episode of ours.
You can stream it and not have to download it, or you can download it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I have before this, I had the Sarcastic Gamer podcast app, and you know, I definitely enjoyed. I definitely thought that was worth getting because they supported, well, at least their PlayStation podcast supported the app mostly. They're the app that, or the show that almost always has bonus content, so that's pretty cool. Theirs is, I think, $2.99, so ours is only $1.99. But yeah, definitely check out our app on Android. There's a post on the site, and just search, you know, the Geeks FTW, Geeks FTW, or any variation of that. You should be able to find it easily. So unfortunately, it's Android 2.1 and higher. I know a couple, or I know one of our listeners was upset because he's stuck at 1.5, and we feel for you. At least I do. But, I guess next we can get into our geek question of the week, which is actually a geek question.
Yes. Actually, this came from an argument that was that happened on Twitter a couple weeks ago. You know, Marvel versus DC. You know, if you could witness the Battle of the Ages, a Marvel hero versus a DC hero, who would you pick to fight each other?
Well, gentlemen, I am actually holding in my hand DC versus Marvel 1-4, still in the plastic case. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and most of the epic battles I was really pleased with, like the Storm versus Wonder Woman, Batman, I think it was Wolverine versus Lobo, things like that, the big epic battles. The only thing I didn't like, and that I guess I would kind of wish, is that they had Aquaman versus Submariner, which, you know, it was a good fight, fair fight. But I just wish that they would have come out of the water, because, you know, all of us geeks know that because of the water pressure down there where those guys live, there's enormously, immensely strong when they come up on the surface. So I would just have liked to have seen a battle, Aquaman versus Submariner, above ground with all their strength, you know, being above ground. But that was my only epic battle that I would want to have witnessed.
Yeah. For me, I kind of joked on Twitter about it. She-Hulk versus Robin. But no, seriously, there's a lot. I'd like to see maybe Batman versus Spider-Man. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You stole mine.
I take that back. I'd like to see maybe Superman versus Doctor Strange.
I think that'd be really good.
Pretty interesting. And it took me a while to think of that.
Yeah, I was going to say Flash versus Quicksilver, but I would probably have to ask for super slow vision in order to really enjoy the battle.
Yeah. or it'd look just like a fancy light show.
I know.
Stuart?
I definitely want to see Batman versus Spider-Man. But I think another good fight, you know, other than, you know, Hulk versus Superman type thing.
Yeah.
I think I would like to see maybe Green Lantern versus Iron Man.
Oh, that would be pretty good.
I don't know, but I think Green Lantern would just kick Iron Man's ass anyway.
Yeah.
No, not really, because Iron Man shoots out yellow beams.
Okay. Oh, that would be pretty interesting. But like I said, Batman versus Spider-Man, because those two personalities would just be interesting to see clash. And another one would be like Batman versus Deadpool. That'd be so freaking interesting. Just personality wise, I mean, just the stuff they would say to each other, the communication would just be priceless.
No, I think the Flash versus Deadpool, that'd be a good conversation to hear.
Yeah, well, their personalities are very similar, but I'm talking about like Batman versus Deadpool. Yeah. Their personalities are totally opposite.
Totally opposite, yeah.
And it'd be just hilarious to see Batman's reaction to some of the stuff Deadpool would say. But I guess feedback, Stuart?
Yes, let's see, on Twitter. Tilt101, he said the Mariner versus the Aquaman. He also said Dr. Fate versus Doctor Strange, Batman versus Captain America, and Supes versus Thor.
That'd be interesting. Is that all?
No. See, Patriot 1030. Probably the most interesting match would be Doctor Strange versus Shazam. Captain Marvel.
That'd be a good one.
The Prophet 209, Superman versus Hulk. That would be pretty epic. And see, Deshane. I completely forgot this one. Adam Warlock versus Mr. Miracle. I have no idea who those people are. I remember he sent a link with them, but I didn't check it. So I failed on that part.
Yeah.
I see the chat room just, you know, just going wild with this one.
The two people in the chat room.
Yeah, the two people. Just keep throwing them out. I really like one of Deshane's, though. Catwoman versus Black Cat.
Ooh, that'd be good.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, yeah.
A cat fight.
Let's see, I see Darkseid versus Thanatos. Thanatos? I don't know who Thanatos is.
Yes, Thanos.
Thanos. Dark Phoenix versus Green Lantern.
Yeah. So are we restrained to just heroes, or would villains work too?
No, Darkseid is villains. There, so villains.
Darkseid versus Apocalypse.
Oh, wow.
I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So both those guys, because I remember reading something and also watching the X-Men series, and also like throughout, you know, my little bit of DC knowledge, are both those guys immortal or not immortal? Are they perceived to be immortal, but they have weaknesses?
It's Apocalypse. I think he is pretty much immortal.
Yeah, because
I'm not sure about Darkseid too much.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, but there was one episode, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was one episode of the X-Men where he was trying to gather all the psychics together to, I guess, create this time.
I know exactly the episode you're talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And they found his original tomb, but I guess Apocalypse was, he was smart enough to go back.
And Cable was trying to do all the stuff to...
Right, because they found his weakness, and they was like, "Well, if we can find his original tomb, we can somehow destroy him." And they had a whole breakdown of how it could happen, but I can't remember exactly what it was. So I don't know if he is immortal or not immortal, but I don't know. Something to think about. Sorry, side tangent.
Yeah, I know exactly the episode you're talking about too. Because I was obsessed with the X-Men in the 90s/90s. Yeah. That's still the best X-Men animated series.
The best.
Yes. The others were just... a lot of them I just couldn't get into. Yeah, definitely. I think we could just go on and on and on about different ones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This was a really good question, and... You know, I put a lot of thought into Superman versus Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that was
really good. That was a good one.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a lot of other characters that maybe no one would have heard of, like Deshane mentioned. You know, obscure characters, but I was thinking, I'm just gonna go with some ones people know.
Ant-Man versus Adam.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But definitely, you know, I've never looked at the what is DC versus Marvel, whatever that you have, Henry. So I don't know the different fights in that.
Yeah, I'll post some pics on Twitter so you kind of take a gander at it.
Alrighty,
yeah,
cool.
I knew those comics that existed. I just have not seen them.
Yeah, same. I knew they existed, but
yeah, I had picked these up on like a whim a long time ago because I've never really been a big DC fan. Not because of the fact that I just don't like DC, but it just because of the fact that I never knew a whole lot about it. And I was a big Marvel kid when I was younger, so I never really got into it. But I saw this, and I was like, oh my goodness! Like, and this was like maybe 7-8 years ago, you know. And
yeah,
I picked this up and I never really messed with it. I think I read each one about 3 times before, and I put them up and I have them and I've had them ever since.
Yeah, I mean it's two big franchises in similar, you know, meet similar types colliding. You know, who doesn't think about that? I mean, that's just like Street Fighter versus Tekken. I mean,
Street Fighter.
I
see.
Yeah.
Or no. Sorry.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat versus DC.
Yeah, but Mortal Kombat and DC, they're two different things, but comics and video game, but characters, but yeah, I, you know, as a kid, I always thought what would happen if, you know, Batman versus Spider-Man and stuff like that. So. I'd definitely love to see them maybe redo and do another, you know, collection of Marvel versus DC.
I would like to just have them turn this into an animated feature, man. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And the chat's still...
It's still going.
Still going.
Faces versus Mystique. I like that one, though.
Yeah.
Magneto versus the Metal Men. Well, that's not... That's Magneto would probably win.
That's not fair.
Wouldn't. But, yeah. Captain Marvel versus Captain Marvel. What?
They're playing now.
But yeah, definitely come check out our Ustream chat, or you know, our live Ustreams. Normally around 7:30, we start getting set up at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern. So definitely, you know, check out. We tweet the links, you know, on Twitter, and you know, there's isn't there a on our site you can view it too?
Yep, there's a,
yeah.
Yes.
There's a page. You can just click it, and then boop, you're there with
exactly
the video plus chat.
Exactly. And our site, of course, is thegeeksftw.com. You know, that's for the win, because geeks are awesome. And there's, you know, a variety of different ways to leave us feedback. Twitter, you know, Facebook, our voice line, you know, just different ways. Our email, thegeeksftw@gmail.com. And, you know, all of our info can be found on each individual podcast episode for, you know, I put them in the show description/show notes. So check that out. You can also leave us reviews on iTunes. You know, we really enjoy that. I didn't check iTunes this week, but I'll check it next week and see if we have any new ones and give shout outs. Sorry if you've left a review. And if you have gotten our Android app, leave a review on that.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, I know we've had one review from a Stuart.
Who's that? Who's
that? I don't know. It just said Stuart. So, you know, I wonder.
The world may never know.
It was from page to screen. It was him.
Oh, it could be. Oh, it could be. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But, yeah, all of the info can be found on each individual episode post on the website, so check that out. And we encourage feedback. We enjoy it, and, you know, if you have any Marvel versus DC, you know, battles, still send them to us. Let us know, because if we haven't mentioned them, because I would sure like to hear what other people would pick, because there's just so many that would be so interesting that I'm not even thinking of. But I guess with that, we can do shout-outs. Stuart?
I would like to shout out BioWare for Dragon Age. It's awesome, and I want more. But...
DLC, my friend. DLC.
Yeah, you're getting
not
more.
Not soon enough. Shout out the writers, Knox, Elf, Cookie. Shout out to my sisters for letting me, you know, for introducing me to Blood Under the Seeker and how good it was, because it's awesome. I can't stop watching it now. Let's see. I'm gonna take Knox's book from this one, but shout out to the world. Oh, anyway, shout out to everybody in Japan.
Oh, definitely.
Because
tough times.
It's really bad over there.
Yes, and I quickly want to say yes, BioWare does appreciate your shout out, as Dark DJ put, because BioWare listens to our podcast. I'm sure of it.
They do. Yes.
Everybody, come on now. Yes.
Who doesn't listen?
We have
the world listens.
We have
right?
Dozens on dozens of listeners. So, Henry, shout outs.
All right. So many, man. Shout out to OFR community as a whole. Shout out to Scarcasm Live as a whole. Shout out to Talking About Games, PGR. Shout out to everybody who went to PAX. Wish I could go. I know a lot of people also did wish that they could go also, but shout out to you guys coming home safe. Shout out to everybody that went. Shout out to all the drivers. Was praying for you guys to have a safe trip there and a safe trip back. Cause I know you guys got some stories to tell. So just can't wait for that stuff, man. Like we said, our condolences and thoughts and prayers. And also, you know, if you want to, you can go to your local Red Cross and you can give, anything from money to blood, you know, to these causes, cause they really do need it. So I personally send prayers up to those people. And also send shout outs to them because they really truly need help right now. And shout out to everybody in the podcasting community and the gaming community. Shout out to all my friends at work and shout out to, the PlayStation 3 for having wonderful exclusives. I'm enjoying Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, jumping back into Heavy Rain pretty soon enough. I'm still enjoying Killzone multiplayer. So, you know, shout out to the world.
Wow. You must have the lungs of a diver. I probably would have passed out by then. I guess shout out to, first and foremost, Dark DJ and Deshane for, you know, watching live and participating in the chat and helping give us ideas, you know, for bringing up good points. Deshane, you know, he brought up like a good point for almost every topic. Shout outs, like I said, to Paladin for helping us so much with the Geeks for the Win images for the app. Yeah, like I said, we had to redo them, he had to redo them a few times, and I was just saying, oh, sorry. Don't, you know, sorry this is happening. Don't, you don't have to rush. Thank you. Constantly. So, oh wow, they're still putting out verses. What else? Shout outs to everyone who went to PAX East. I know I really would have liked to go, but family emergencies happened and prevented me from going, even though I had it all planned out and everything. It just sucks that I gotta wait.
I think we all would have liked to have been there.
Yeah, just sucks that we have to wait a whole nother year to hang out with the community, that there's nothing else that the community would go to before then.
Maybe E3, but they got it so locked down now.
We couldn't get into E3 unless we paid $400 for tickets. And I'm not paying $400 for tickets. That's too much. that's as much as the flight almost. I guess that's it. Shout outs to you guys for showing up on time this week.
Yeah, that's good.
Even though daylight savings time was this weekend. So
lost an hour.
Yeah. Sadly. Shout out and shout down to spring break, because it's great. I'm great. Spring break's here, but it sucks that I have no plans because my parents are just making me do all kinds of stuff to help them out since I don't have plans. So I'm busy, even though I'm off for a week. Just a teaser, our bonus content will be talking about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 a little bit, like, I guess, techniques for a noob to help Stuart, and third-party controllers, like for the PS3 and whatnot, or third-party redesigned controllers. So with that little tease, get the Android app if you have an Android device, and this has been episode 36. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.